Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello folks, welcome back to another Political Chat with Dan and I, and we are of course going to be talking about the launch of the Restore Party.
Big news.
Big news, and it has been seismic actually. The political environment in Britain all of a sudden has shifted, and you can feel the foundations are under attack for the Liberal consensus, which is why they're calling us racists.
Early on the podcast, Josh was saying that he felt something when this came out, but he didn't recognise what the emotion was. And because I'm a little bit older, I was able to tell him what it was. That's hope.
Can you even imagine?
If you're under 35, you won't know what that feeling is like.
No, although you will know what the simulacrum of it is like if you are voting for the Green Party. Because Zach Polanski has been grifting on this for a while. So I'm offering hope. Hope of what? More of the same, actually. Yeah. More of the same, just to a greater extent. So that's not actually hope. That's you honestly being condemned to the future that they have already planned for you. Anyway, as you can see, this has got nearly 40 million views, the announcement video, and everyone was profoundly impressed with it. And this is one of the things that came across. And it was this style, the aesthetic, the tone, the mood that I think was exactly correct and hit exactly the right note for this to go viral, not just in Britain, which is where I'm...
Well, the Americans initially love it.
The Americans loved it too.
Yes.
Everyone loved it. Because this was really, really interesting in that it wasn't spectacle.
No, it felt real.
And this is the a follow-up message he put out. And again, I won't tell you comforting lies. It won't be easy. There'll be no confetti and pyrotechnics. It'll be hard. It will hurt. It will challenge all of us. And what this was is the very best of the British aristocracy being represented here.
Yes.
Right? This was a message that was delivered through grim necessity.
Yes.
This is not fun. This is not frivolous.
You watch this and you come away with a sense of duty.
Yes.
My whole life I've had politicians offering me easy fixes. It would be easy to do this. It would be easy to do that. You know, you can have more. We can cut your taxes and give you a whole bunch of social programs. We can cut the debt as well. Why not at the same time? And it just isn't real.
Yes.
And I've watched the country get worse as a result of that kind of thinking. And he just comes along and says, what will be necessary will be incredibly painful. And I can believe him. He understands that he can't get away with false platitudes.
Talking to the electorate as if they're adults.
Yes.
Not promising them Christmas presents. Literally saying, no, this is about you picking up the world on your shoulders and carrying it. And you'll notice that but it's not a pessimistic message. It's, no, things are bad.
No.
But we're going to fix them.
It's the right kind of hope. It's that certain things are going to be hard to build something better. Instead, we're just fed this sort of political version of I don't know, sugar or heroin, and it's just making us sicker and sicker the whole time. What he's promising is health.
Yes, and it's not easy to get up and do your exercise when you're, you know, 200 pounds overweight, 200, you know, you're massively overweight and you need to go to the gym, you need to control your diet. And you know that you need to do these things and there's only one way out of it. You just have to actually do it. And that's what Rupert Lowe is promising. We can get back to health. That's completely possible. We just have to make sacrifices along the way. And we just have to understand that this is what needs to be done if we want things to ever get any better. And what I loved about this, it was not touched by sort of MAGA spectacle at all. Now, I'm not throwing shade on MAGA or anything like that. That's appropriate for America. Yep. That's the way Americans do things. But that's not the way the British do things.
Oh, there's no fireworks, no flames. It was a man on his farm. It was authentically British.
100%. And authentic in what it was as well. So when Farage goes out in his barber jacket or whatever it is, well, he doesn't own a farm. He doesn't go on farms.
Yeah.
Rupert Lowe does own a farm. He actually does work on a farm.
Yes.
He has guns, he has dogs, he has to do things that farmers do.
Nigel Farage lives in Bromley, which is a borough of London. I mean, there are some open bits of land near it, but not many. There's no farms.
And he's just not a farmer. So when he puts on the aesthetic, it's fake. Mm. But this is a problem that Reform have had for a while, really, is that, well, they are kind of like... crass American spectacle. And again, I'm not criticizing the Americans for doing the things that they want to do and being the way that they are, but it's not the way that we are. And it's not the way we expect things to be. I mean, you remember him coming on the tractor when he first announced. And
I don't actually, but...
Do you not remember this? This is when they launched local election campaigns in March 2025. And he arrived on a tractor at a rally to show that, well, he's a guy with a tractor. I don't know. I don't even know what this is supposed to show. But then you've got other things like, you may remember Andrea Jenkins performing a self-written song called Insomniac at the Reform UK conference. Like,
yeah,
some sort of Butlins performance.
Kind of cringe.
It's totally cringe. What are you doing? Like, I've written a song about insomnia. Okay, why is it appropriate for a political conference? Yeah. It's not. I'd just really like to be out here in a sparkly outfit singing as, like, literally as if I'm on a Butlins.
And I mean, it's not even boomer cringe, because this sort of thing was considered pastiche back in the 90s by the boomers, and yet they're somehow still doing it.
And it's the sort of thing you do with kids on holiday.
Yeah.
Right? You have the entertainers for the kids on holiday, and the adults sit there getting drunk at the back while the entertainers keep the kids occupied for a couple of hours. Right? And then you've got them singing your song by Elton John with the Chagossians. So there's been this kind of, like, and you see it in Farage's conferences, this kind of pseudo-American attempt at spectacle that does have confetti and pyrotechnics. In fact, Nigel has had pyrotechnics at some of his conferences and appearances. And it's like, okay, well, I'm sorry, but I just think that you're not really touching the severity of the situation. I mean, this doesn't scream to me country occupied by foreign rapists, right?
No.
This doesn't scream to me someone who understands just how bad things are getting in the working communities of this country.
Well, Rupert is talking about there will be hard choices and it'll be difficult, but it's healthy for the long term, and reform is giving us this.
I just don't understand why they've chosen this as their aesthetic. Anyway.
I can't tell you.
The point is, people were hungry for an alternative, which is why Rupert's video went so viral, and why suddenly everyone was like, oh, finally, something. So Restore commissioned a poll from Find Out Now. The sample size is 1,000, so it's not massive, but it's not tiny. And they showed that the Restore would be on 10% in this. Off the bat, the Conservatives on 13%, Green Party on 20%, which is actually quite significant, but Reform on 25%.
So a couple of things to note on this. I mean, first of all, you're going to have to get used. I mean, obviously, we're going to support Reform because they're the only real party available.
Restore.
Yeah. But you're going to have to accept that for maybe the next couple of years, the pollsters are not going to prompt for Restore.
Correct.
And that is going to understate them quite significantly.
Correct. Because this is the issue with polling. For anyone who doesn't know, right? If you were to ask just who would you vote for in the next election and gave no prompts at all, a lot of people are just going to say, don't know, because they just can't think of a political party off the top of their head. They just like. Because most people are not actually very plugged into politics. And so the pollsters prompt the series of the major parties, and then they'll have other, you can write in your own party.
So up until about 6 months before the last general election, that's what they did with Reform as well. They didn't prompt for Reform, and it always suppressed their vote share. The second thing I'd say about these numbers is, as you can see, that 10%, I think Reform would like to imagine that all of the Restore vote is coming directly from their vote share.
Yes.
It's clearly not. Most of it is coming from people who were like, who had already given up on Reform as they turn into the Tory party. Most of it are people who were not going to vote and now are.
That's a great point. One thing that, for some reason, is just taken for granted in Britain is that 40% of the electorate just don't want to vote. And I think, because at the 2024 election, we had a 59% turnout.
Yeah, and everybody just filters it out of their mental thinking when they're talking about
polls.
Oh,
they can never be won back.
Yes.
They're gone forever. So, no, they're people who look at the system and say, nobody here is working in my interests. Nobody here represents me. And now that I can see it's conservatives in teal, or conservatives in red, who are also Labour in teal, Labour in blue.
Or Blairites is another way.
All Blairites, the Uniparty. I don't particularly want to vote for any of them, but as soon as you have someone who is demonstrably outside of this consensus, no wonder Rupert Lowe's got.
I mean, to be fair, I was one of those people where the way I was heading was, okay, I'm probably going to have to vote for Reform, but I didn't like it.
I'll hold my nose, I suppose.
Yeah.
But like,
and
I wasn't expecting much.
It really wouldn't have surprised me if we got to the next general election and I just didn't bother.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I wouldn't be. And this is another point I made in a video the other day. When Farage announced that he was taking over Reform, his video didn't go viral. Right? It got 1.5 million views on Twitter, which out of 2.2 million followers is not that much, really. But it didn't set off this firework. Why not? Why were people not excited that Nigel Farage is coming back to politics? It was only the politicos who cared about that.
Oh, and this went well beyond the politicos.
Exactly. 40 million views. This went everywhere. Right. So that is massive. And within the first weekend, in the first 2 days, Restore Britain got 50,000 new members. So that's now a sizable political party. And then, was it today, it's hit 60,000. So another 10,000 in less than 20
hours. Well, I'll just point out that, I don't know, maybe 60,000 people are going to watch this video. Mm-hmm. I'll just ask the question, is every one of you, have you already signed up? And if you haven't, go and sign up.
Being specifically the people in Britain having watched this video,
yes,
go and sign up. And so that's 60,000 plus in, well, 3 days, basically. And that makes them bigger than the Liberal Democrats. That makes them, the Tories have probably got, they claim to have 120,000 members, but I don't think they have that many members. I think the Tories, if we were to say they've got 100,000, that's generous, right?
Yeah.
So this, by the end of the week, if numbers continue like this, like 5,000 to 10,000 people a day, they could be surpassing the Conservatives in membership.
And that is an early sign of health. I mean, this again, so much of what we're going to talk about is Reform were in a very similar place a few years ago, and they had a spike in the number of memberships in the party. And at the time, the commentariat was saying, well, they're never going to replace the Tories, are they? Because it's only party membership. But no, it's a leading indicator.
Yes, and that's the point. The health of the movement that undergirds the party. How much do people believe in it? How much they want it? How much they're actually going to put their own money in play and actually get out and do stuff? And I mean, Nigel didn't raise this many people in this short a time either.
No.
So, and remember,
it took him years to get to 10%.
Exactly. And so it. I mean, you know, interesting. Moving on. The Dragon's Den chap, Duncan Batania, is that?
Valentine.
Valentine. He came out and instantly was like, brilliant. Love to help. We'll chat soon. So he's got, I mean, he's worth, what, £500 million?
Something like that,
yep. So he's got now elite backing, so he's already broken. I think John Cleese is on side. I'm not entirely sure. Like, John Cleese will tweet things like this. Do you think this man's a paedophile? Because it's a picture of Trump with his daughter. Like, I don't think that is actually an indication of it. But anyway, he reposts a lot of boomer slop, basically. Do you like Rupert Lowe, yes or no? And it's like, right, okay, that seems to be positive. So I think he's on side. If he thinks the other one's negative, Trump giving his daughter a cuddle.
I mean, there's a hell of a lot of people who have been waiting for something exactly like this.
Exactly. And John Cleese has been on a bit of an anti-Islam, anti-gender ideology tear recently. And as you can see here, is Rupert Lowe promising to destroy trans ideology, which he has done. And John Cleese endorsing it with, that's a handsome picture of, where's... Oh, I think I recognise that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a very Chad-looking picture of Rupert there as well. Yeah. So it seems that John Cleese is on side, and Elon Musk called this ages ago, about a year ago now, didn't he? He was like, Farage isn't the guy. I like this Rupert Lowe chap.
Well, I mean, Elon had a sit-down meeting with Nigel for about an hour, and Nigel came out of that meeting and immediately started hinting, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, Elon's going to be giving me $100 million.
Something like that, £1 million or something.
Or $10 million. It was millions, and it was more than one of them. And Elon sat on it and thought about it for a bit and then tweeted out, Nigel Farage does not have what it takes.
Yep.
And that clearly is not how Nigel thought the meeting went.
And then he signal boosted Rupert Lowe.
Yes.
After that. And now that Rupert Lowe starts a party, join Rupert Lowe and Restore Britain, he's the only one who will actually do it. And everyone knew. And honestly, credit to Elon Musk for sniffing this out so quickly.
Oh, he sniffed it out before we did.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to be fair, we had an hour meeting with him, but, you know, obviously he's a talented guy, so...
Yeah, you know, you don't get to Elon Musk's position without being able to suss people out very quickly.
Yeah.
You can't afford to make that many mistakes in this.
Well, he insisted on doing all of the interviews at his firms himself up until it got to the point where he had like 100,000 people and he just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But he's done a hell of a lot of interviews. He's very, very good at seeing through people.
Yep. And he knew that Farage wasn't the guy, and he's correct. Katie Hopkins come out just full-throated. I mean, Katie Hopkins has 1.5 million followers, so this is like, I guess we call it sort of the normie sphere,
yeah.
Online right. So there's different levels of online right. We're like a sort of, you know, intellectual elite online right. Well, we are. We're academic scholars. We read a lot of books. Katie Hopkins isn't, but that doesn't make her any less valuable. You know, she's still an incredibly valuable sort of ally to have. And so you've got basically, I mean, one of the things that was remarkable on the day is just the entire online right was just like, this is it.
Yep.
This is what we want.
I was expecting to see more back and forth, but no, it was just uniform.
And the only people who are against it are those with a sunk cost into reform.
Yes.
Like all of those people who Farage has kept very much on the fringes, but has kind of, you know, they get on GB News, right? So Farage is obviously in control of what online influencers can go on GB News. And so you've got Adam Essex going on because he's very normie, very unoriginal in his thinking. And so he's allowed to give the reform... centre-right perspective.
You've got a great way of describing this. What do you say? It's something like he's got his levies or something like that?
Yeah, he's got a particular sort of cadre around him. Yes. But you'll notice even they're kept really arm's length. Like why doesn't Nigel Farage ever go on any of their shows, right? You can just zoom in.
Yeah.
So like Adam Essex's show, I assume he has one.
He really doesn't like the online world.
He doesn't. He hates it. He's completely a creature of the mainstream media. And so like, you know, Darren Grimes was kept at arm's length for ages. Like if Darren Grimes is someone who, okay, fine, we'll let him run to be a counsellor. It's like, Dan, what?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Elon. Nigel. You know, come on. Like, what are you doing, man? Why are you so standoffish about the people who should be your core support?
He's incredibly snobbish about media for some reason.
Yes, he is. So it's only those people who I see going against Restore. Everyone else is just like, brilliant. Finally, we've got something we can actually reliably back. And it's because, fundamentally, the locus of attention and focus of Restore is in the British people themselves. I mean, Rupert Lowe put it in the video perfectly. This is Britain and we will do things our way, right? That's not to say we're not going to have friends and allies and all this, but whatever it is, it comes secondary to us concerning ourselves first. And that's something that literally none of the other parties can say, which is why the entire online right was for it. I mean, like Asmongold was thrilled. I won't play it, but he's just like, yes, I would vote for this guy. This guy's amazing. I'm like, yep, great. Love it.
I mean, there's one or two standout moments in there. I mean, we talked about them with one of them, which is this would be painful. That made it real. And the other one is if you had to remember another line from this without watching it again, the other one you're going to go to is that our women and children must be safe.
Yes.
And if that means millions must go home, millions must go home. And all the people who watched it, and I'm sure Asmongold will just light up at that moment.
He does.
In fact, you should have
seen... The eyebrows.
You should have seen Bo's face.
Yeah, I know. I did.
I mean, it was
happy
thoughts.
Yeah, but this is what everyone has known has to be the way forward. And again, it's the maturity with which Rupert Lowe puts this across.
Yes.
None of the childish frivolousness of reform.
There was not a single gimmick in that entire thing.
Nothing. It was all just, I live on a farm and I'm going to tell you what I think Britain needs. And everyone was like, oh, thank God, an adult has finally returned to politics. And he's telling us, he's treating us like adults and he's telling us how things are going to be. And you know what? They're going to be rough. And we know because the country's in such a state. We know.
Well, meanwhile, of course, Richard bloody Tice is talking about a sovereign wealth fund.
He didn't even mention the oil either. He didn't mention it.
But what wealth? We don't have any wealth. We're running a yearly £100 million deficit. What are you going to... And we talked about this earlier. The only thing you could possibly do was the North Sea oil.
But he doesn't mention it.
Yeah.
He didn't bring it up. He talked about steel for some reason.
But it's...
As if steel is a big moneymaker for Britain.
Steel is something you have to subsidise. But, I mean, it's this fantasy of don't tell me comforting lies. Tell me the truth. And only one person has done that.
Yeah, and we can bear it. Whatever it is, we can bear it. We will be fine with it. But anyway, so the online right, very, very happy with all of this. There are lots of people saying, well, look, actually, a bunch of the people I know are talking about this because, again, 40 million views is a lot. But it's not just 40 million views on X. Again, like a lot of the online right say, no, people are, you know, genuinely excited about this. Yeah.
Well, quickly on that point on X, because that is a line that a lot of people have pushed back on. They say, oh, people on X know who Rupert Lowe is, but nobody else does. Okay, first of all, X has a third of British adults on it.
Yes.
And 100% of the journalists. Right, and also that, I don't use Facebook, I'm pretty sure it went over to Facebook as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, we'll talk about Rupert Lowe's
Facebook. And that's where all the normies are.
Yeah.
The third that aren't on X, most of them are going to be on Facebook.
Rupert Lowe has an insanely good social media game, and he has done for quite a while now. Mm. On basically every platform. Honestly, TikTok is probably his weakest platform. But on Facebook especially, very, very powerful. I mean, you can see it there, 882,000 followers. Mm. But the interaction with his posts is amazing. Like, this was posted an hour ago. If you want to support foreign gang rapists and evil cockroaches are allowed to happen, join Restore Britain. Nearly 4,000 likes. 2 hours ago, 12,000 likes. Message to reform members. 3 hours ago, 26,000 likes. Farage admitting which things we'll get to, right?
And we are in the middle of a work day here as well, so...
Exactly, we're in the middle of the work day.
Yeah.
So, like, this is... And, you know, I've got a successful Facebook page that gets, like, 25 million views a month. This will be hundreds of millions. Mm. Right? This is going under the radar... Because it's not as politically salient as X is, right?
Well, you know what he's cut through in social media is because he's an MP, in the register of members' interests, they have to disclose they're earning from social media. Mm. He's earning more from social media, not that he's doing it for the money, of course, no. It's just a function of attention, but he's earning more from social media than all the rest of the MPs put together.
Including Farage. And Farage should be bombastic on social media, but of course he's not.
But he hates it.
Exactly. He doesn't like it. He's not a social media guy. So anyway, as you can see, Rupert Lowe is doing so well in the public discourse because he has a really large presence. Now, this I've seen these TikToks going around, but I had a look on TikTok and I actually thought TikTok was the sort of smallest place he's made impacts. But, you know, Zoomers, get on it. We need those edits. Anyway, so what was the impression on, say, the betting markets? What did they think of this? Well, surprising, to be honest. On Bet365, so who's going to get the most seats in the next general election? Well, Reform was 6-4, Labour 13-8, Conservatives 5-1, Greens 10-1, Restore 16-1, above the Liberal Democrats at 33-1.
Not a bad start.
Liberal Democrats are forecast to get around 80 seats in the next election.
Ooh.
I mean, this is... this. Interesting, but it actually gets better from there. Yesterday, William Hill had who would be the next Prime Minister. As you can see, Angela Rayner, Wes Streeting, Ed Miliband, Nigel Farage, all jockeying for the top position. Then you've got John Healey, Shabana Mahmood, Andy Burnham for sort of like the second place. And then you've got Alice Cairns, David Lammy, Yvette Cooper, Rupert Lowe, all on 16-1.
Well, I mean, if you take out the Labour ones... who are on the list because Starmer might be forced out when the rent boy trial goes ahead before the end of the term.
Yep.
The only other two names on there that isn't a Labour name is Nigel Farage and Rupert Lowe in second place.
Yeah, or Kemi Badenoch at 20-1.
Oh, it's Kemi on there.
Zach Polanski at 25-1.
Oh, Kemi's below Rupert, yeah.
Kemi is below Rupert. In the
and best. Zach's below.
And Zach Polanski, and of course Jeremy Corbyn, right at the bottom. So Rupert Lowe has just instantly come in, knocking off the Conservatives, the Greens, and your party. So it's literally, it's Reform and Labour that he has to fight.
And anyone who has any doubt on this, I mean, bear in mind that the idea that a Labour government wouldn't be followed by a Conservative government would have been considered ludicrous just a few years ago. And now Kemi isn't even in the running anymore. So if Reform can do it to the Tories... whilst becoming the Tories,
yes,
I think somebody who's actually authentic and actually articulates the right-wing position can do it.
And has come ready-made with a huge sort of halo of media, right? All of the sort of online right are just like, yep, he's the guy. Promote the message, spread the word. But this was yesterday's numbers. These are today's numbers. We can see Rupert Lowe's at 12-1.
Yeah.
So now he's above David Lammy and Yvette Cooper and Alistair Cairns.
I mean, there is an element to this. This is not a prediction. This is just weighting the amount of money that comes in into the bookies. And there's a certain amount of enthusiasm here. But nevertheless, it is a very positive sign.
Nevertheless, it's going to cost them money if they're wrong, right? Mm. And so he puts him in pole position with Andy Burnham. again, like, these people have money riding on this, so they take this sort of thing very seriously. Like I said, it's not a prediction, so who knows? And then you've got, like, most seats in the next election, Rostorm 20-1. Interesting. You know, better than the Liberal Democrats, of course. So these are just very interesting positions. So you have the sort of die-hard reform supporters who honestly are kind of panicking. Like, Alex Phillips, Farage's ex-mistress, has been a die-hard supporter of his. And she's like, well, I just don't understand. I think this will get amplified by bots. It's going to split the vote. And Morgoth just takes it to town and says, look, right, you don't seem to understand, right? You are within the Citadel fretting about the barbarians outside.
Yes.
Why is it possible? I replied to her saying, why is it possible that a massive right-wing insurgent force could attack Farage from the right? How is that possible?
Yes, that is a good question, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. Yes. Right. How is it possible that Farage could have somehow decided, I don't need all of these people. These people are a big waste of my time. Yes. And actually, unlike Trump, who created just the largest tent you can imagine and just brought everyone in,
yep,
and said, no, you're all on my team now. You're all going to be spreading the word. We're going to build a wall in Mexico.
Well, what Farage did is first of all, he actively hates the online right. He's got rid of them. Then his own supporters, he so much takes them for granted.
His own MPs, he expelled from the party. Two or three he's expelled now.
Oh, I lose count. But,
exactly.
But, I mean, if anyone just goes and has a conversation with their local reform branch, they are furious the way they're being treated. They get dictated to.
Yes.
Everybody is taken for granted.
Yes.
Including the voters, and he's been moving further and further to the left to try and position himself. And this is it's crazy because this is what the Tories did. The Tories tried to position themselves one inch to the right of Labour. Mm-hmm. I mean, they actually miscalculated and ended up to the left of Labour. And Reform are trying to do the same thing. They're trying to position themselves as close as possible to the centre because in normie world, that's how you win an election.
The dwindling centre, actually, I don't think controls the ebb and flow of political discourse anymore. Mm. Like the dwindling centre, like this was always Farage's power, is to attack the centre from the right with Brexit. Right? For example, the centrist consensus was, we're never going to leave the EU. What are you, mad? That would be insane. And Farage banged that drum, and suddenly, from the right, he's attacked the centre successfully and overthrown their order.
And then immediately abandoned the right.
Immediately. And now we've got a perfect opportunity to attack the centre from the right because of this 40% dispossessed vote that probably wants to come out but has nowhere to go. And Farage decided, no, I don't need any of you.
Well, they came out once. They came out for Brexit.
Yep.
And no lessons were learnt from that.
Apparently not. And now Farage has put himself in the position that the centre, the Cameronite, Blairite centre was in when he was attacking them.
Yeah.
And this is what Morgoth is pointing out. And so it's really, it speaks to a real lack of fundamental strategy for Farage, that he is looking for the approval of the centre all the time, even though they hate him. They've called him a fascist, they've called him a racist, they've called him all sorts of things. And in order to make sure that he could weather those attacks, emotionally it seems, he decided, no, everything on the right is essentially my enemy, but I assume they'll never find a political voice. I assume that Gammonzilla will never have political representation.
And again, it is exactly the mistake the Tories made. And he just repeated it he speedrun it. I don't get it.
Well, that's why I created this meme. It's 2026.
Yes.
The right-wing party is calling me a racist. Just like they did in 2019. Just like they did in 2016.
Yes.
Just like they did in 2014 with the rise of UKIP. Like, whatever year we're in, the right-wing party is calling me a racist.
And is that really the culmination of 35 years of a political career for Nigel Farage, so that you can be called racist by somebody wearing a turquoise rosette instead of a red one?
I mean, yes, actually. So here's Alex Phillips on Talk TV on her show, just calling everyone racist, basically.
Restore Britain believe British people are an ethnicity. We are a race. We are a demographic. Every other political party has a nebulous view of Britain and British people. Okay, so if British people are a race, my stepsister is not British then. I'm sorry, I just don't...
What's the issue?
I don't understand.
I mean, no, nobody's saying that your stepsister isn't a good person, but for it would suggest, I mean, I don't know the woman.
I don't know who, I looked at her, I couldn't find out who her stepsister
but
was.
It would suggest that if she's not British, well, she's not British, but...
She's
that,
obviously married your dad.
Yeah.
Or, you know...
But what's the issue? I mean, there is nothing wrong or you know...
Inaccurate?
Yeah, with being British, and there's nothing wrong with not being British, but I mean, either are British or you aren't.
We literally do genetic tests... And we can tell where your genes cover. I mean, like, you got 100% Britain and Ireland, and I got something like 80% Britain and Ireland, because I know that I've got British Empire genes in me, right? But the point is, we know objectively where the origins of our ancestries are.
But you don't even need that. So it wasn't that long ago. When would it have been? Maybe 50 years ago, maybe a bit longer ago now, when the Indians kicked out the British out of India. They managed to do it without DNA tests.
Yeah, they stipulated British people are leaving and did it on the way they look.
And somebody like Alex will want to go to now, well, it's impossible unless you DNA test. No, it's not. The Indians did it 60 years ago.
It happened in the from around sort of 1920 to around 1960.
Right.
There were all number of mass deportations. Germans out of Poland after World War II. Greeks and Turks out of Greece and Turkey after the end of the Ottoman Empire and things like this. So this is Britain decolonization, France decolonization from North Africa, Indians out of Uganda from British decolonization.
And to be clear, Lowe is not even going anywhere near.
He's not saying
that,
anything like that.
No.
Obviously.
He's talking about the rapists and the people who don't contribute anything.
But notice how she's not even on that point.
What
is a British person? A British person is anyone who happens to be in Britain, as far as Alex is arguing here.
And she wouldn't dare make this argument about any other group.
No, of course, but what's the difference between her argument and Zach Polanski's argument? Mm. This is exactly Zach Polanski's position.
She's denying the existence of the British as a people.
Yes, which is exactly Zach Polanski's position. It's no different to the radical lunatics in the Green Party who want every single person on Earth brought here. She's like, well, I mean, there is no such thing as a British person. I mean, I just don't understand. You're saying it's about ancestry. It's like, how do these ancestry.com or, like, you know, My Family, My Heritage, how do these websites exist if there's nothing there?
I'll give you an answer, because I don't believe that she believes this for a minute.
No, I know she does.
And the left have done this for years. They said, oh, it's impossible to define what British is.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. About a week ago, who was that chap? Jim Radcliffe, was it?
Yep,
and he made these comments, and all of a sudden lefties started posting images of the Manchester football team with most of them blacked out, and said, so you've
this
only
is
got
your
two
football
British
team without immigration.
Yeah. So the moment it suits them, they instantly know who's British.
How did you choose to black out those people and not the other guys?
Because your own logic, it's impossible to tell.
And yeah, exactly. You know, and we know that you know Alex.
Yes.
So this pretending, I just don't know how you can tell if someone's British or not. Well, I don't believe you, and it's not going to wash. And it's literally just you being able to do this, saying, you know what, we're the right-wing party, but you're a racist. Like, no, that's a libtard argument. You're a liberal. You are just a liberal. You are not right-wing. You are part of the Blairite uniparty consensus where you think that belonging to a place is you adhering to values. If I don't adhere to Blair's creation of British values, then somehow I'm not British. You remember we covered this the other day with some Indian guy going, Matt Goodwin's not British because he doesn't adhere to British values. Well, it turns out he does. I mean, he backed the Reform Party line on this, which is you're a racist. So it turns out actually he is British by that standard. But anyway, moving on, you've got a lot of panic on the left, of course, because Restore Britain were like, having a British passport doesn't make you necessarily British, which is obviously true, given the way that our government administratively pours out British passports.
Previous point about the Manchester United football team, a lot of them have got British passports, but again, the left instantly understood.
Yep.
No.
Yep. But then you've got people like Mehdi Hasan, who's just like, well, hang on a second, are you saying I'm not British? I mean, your name is Mehdi Hasan and your parents are from Hyderabad, so, you know, FYI. Yeah. Anyway, so...
And that doesn't even mean that Rupert is going to deport Mehdi.
No, of course not. Rupert's like, criminals need to go.
Yes.
And so, okay, the...
And Mehdi is obnoxious.
But I don't think he's part of a grooming gang.
I don't think he's a threat to my children.
No,
so,
I don't think he's ever been a part of a grooming gang. And he lives in America. So
there's that.
You're not going to get deported because you're not even in the country, Mehdi.
Well, yes.
you know, it's not Steve Laws that's in charge of Restore. But this is the point, isn't it? Like, because what's Rupert said? Criminals who are part of the grooming gangs or knew about the grooming gangs should leave. We should force them to go.
Yes, and I think the other group was people who contribute nothing, who just suck up money on
obviously, welfare parasites. Obviously, we don't need them.
And I would just say, Alex, did your sister participate in or know about the grooming gangs? Is she living in social housing, getting like 30 or 40 grand a year?
So,
if no, stop worrying about it.
So I assume that because it's her stepsister, so her dad must have got divorced at some point.
Something like that, yeah.
Remarried some woman, and she has a stepsister now, who I assume this was when they were adults as well, who is probably like Italian or something. You know, I don't know where her stepsister's from, but not British, right?
Yeah.
Clearly. And so she's like, it's my step... Ridiculous. Anyway, let's go back to Farage, because he did a series of announcements today. I'll skip through it just so you can see it. Big thing where, you know, he's got all the razzmatazz. He's got a huge room and they're on lecterns or podiums or whatever. They've got lecterns and they're on podiums. Announcing his shadow cabinet. And this was kind of weird because it's one of those things where it's like, why have you made these choices? And I mean, we'll have a bit of a tangent on this because this isn't relevant to the important bits. But it was just really bizarre. So we didn't see Nadeem Zahawi because we thought he would be the foreign secretary. He wasn't brought out. No Nadine Dorries and no Lee Anderson.
Okay, interesting.
You've got a very narrow cadre of people around you, Nigel.
Yeah.
You took Nadeem Zahawi because he was good at raising money. He's a businessman, which I'm sure he is.
What job did he get?
None. Everyone thought, well, I mean, it was rumoured that he was going to be foreign secretary.
Right.
It's like, Nigel, foreign secretary doesn't mean hire a foreigner. He's literally from another country.
No, that's for the Home Office.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll get to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll get to that. But one of the things that was interesting about this is surprisingly effective press questions. We'll come to some of those. The press...
Did they ask about Restore?
We'll get to it.
Oh.
But it's not just Restore either. There were other points that they were particularly strong on, actually. Loathe am I to give the British press any credit.
No.
But they actually had some quite pointed questions that Farage had real trouble answering. But we won't worry about them. They're for another time. So here's the Guardian's coverage of it, which is just to save me time finding tabs and links. So Richard Tice is the UK's Department of Business, Trade and Energy. It's like, okay, that makes sense, right. I guess. Right. You know, Tice's a businessman. This is where the desire for the sovereign wealth fund has come from. So, okay, that's fine. That makes, you know, he tends to bring that up, but he's going to reindustrialize Britain. Notice there's no mention of North Sea oil there. Are we not going to...
Where is this wealth coming from?
I don't know.
Get it. OnlyFans? I mean, what is the source of this wealth?
You know, we're going to ask... we're going to have to ask the Chancellor of the Exchequer, obviously. Who do you think the logical choice for that is?
Is I Yusuf? Did he get that?
Nope. It was Robert Jenrick who got that.
Yeah.
Robert Jenrick? Jenrick's a lawyer. He's trained in law. Jenrick is not an economist. Richard Tice is an economist, or at least has a business background. Nadeem Zahawi has a business background. Right. Robert Jenrick is a lawyer, and Robert Jenrick's real profile has been built on cultural issues.
I mean, if you put a lawyer in the Treasury, they're just going to get railroaded because the officials are going to come to them and say, look, you have certain obligations and you need to do this and you need to do that and it's legally required. And it will be the civil service running it.
Correct. Why would you put Jenrick in charge of it?
Well, I mean, the Shadow Chancellor is the most senior position.
That's true.
So,
kind of looks like Farage is teeing him up as the successor, doesn't it? But he's not in charge of the party. Zia Yusuf, who is co-owner of the party. So bizarre. Who knows what the rationale for this kind of decision-making is. But it's not Robert Jenrick's proven economic noose and time-tested economic advice, is it?
Yeah.
Like, there's a bizarre choice. Anyway, moving on, Zia Yusuf gets to be the Home Secretary, or the Shadow Home Secretary, of course. So we've currently got Shabana Mahmood, a Muslim woman, and Farage is like, good point, we just want a different kind of Muslim.
Well, the last seven Home Secretaries with the exception of Yvette Cooper, have all been Thoughn, the Thoughn extraction.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't realise it was that.
I've got the list, so I'll...
Go on. I didn't realise it was that. What is going on? Why do we have to have... That can't be true.
No, I'm going to read you the list. Right. Sorry for the dead air, people, but...
Go on.
So, Javid, Pakistani extraction.
Yeah.
Patel, Indian extraction.
Yeah.
Braverman, Indian extraction. Schnapps.
Oh, yeah.
Cleverly.
Yeah.
Cooper, the one British one.
Yvette Cooper, yeah.
Mahmood.
Yeah.
And then, if this goes ahead, Yusuf. So that would be, yeah, 8 Home Secretaries. Only Labour managed to put up a one-time British. So the Home Secretary is anything but the Home Secretary.
Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know, the Home Secretary deals with the internal political decisions regarding the sort of infrastructure of the country.
Well, and crucially, who gets to come into the country.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. They run the Home Office. So they issue passports. They're probably responsible for deportations, actually, as well.
Yes, they are.
And various other... Like, you would think kind of mission-critical functions for the internal harmony and stabilisation of the nation.
And I bet I understand why the Tories, because a number of those are Tory
names. They
don't
want to be called racist.
Exactly. So the thinking is, and this is almost certainly what Nigel Farage has done as well, he's thinking, I might actually like to do a few deportations, so I need to put a brown person in as Home Secretary, so that isolates me from attack. But what the Tories did is they never actually did any.
Yep.
And I suspect it's going to be the same with Farage as well. He's put a brown person in to isolate him from cries of racism, and then he won't actually do it.
Yeah, the next one is Suella Braverman, who gets to be the education minister.
Okay, that's not a particularly senior role. But
no, but also...
I mean, it's important, but...
Also, it's just weird, because, again, she is a lawyer, right? Now, there's a Department for the Judiciary... Like, why wouldn't she be put in charge of anything like that? Because her main problem, the reason she was forced out of the Conservatives, is because she was going to Rishi Sunak in her own account of things and saying, I know what the laws are, I'm a lawyer, we need to get rid of these laws so I can fix things. And Rishi Sunak was like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Why is he playing everybody out of position? It's like...
I don't know.
Because I look at this and just think... Like I said earlier, the permanent secretaries, the civil service, are going to end up railroading these people because they're playing out of position.
Yeah. So, like, sorry, I'm just... I want to get the actual... the Ministry for Justice, obviously.
Right.
You would think that she'd be in the Ministry of Justice, right? Or Jemrick would be in the Ministry of Justice. These are people who are trained as lawyers.
Yes.
Why are... Yeah, as you say, they're being played out of position, which is just like, okay, but what... What is the rationale for this?
Well, I can't think of a based explanation, but I can very easily think of a containment explanation.
Well, yeah, interesting. I mean, she says that she's going to be the Equalities Minister, but will scrap it immediately. You're going to scrap your own position in government, are you? I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, she should, but... I mean,
yeah, obviously she should, but they should be like, we're not going to appoint an Equalities Minister because we're scrapping the position.
Hmm.
Like, why would we appoint, you know, one of our few people, the experienced people in government? And again, if you go back, like, these are the experienced people in government. Well, Zia Yusuf doesn't have any experience. And the Home Secretary is a really important role. Like, Jemrick's got experience, but not as the Chancellor.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? Like, Richard Tice doesn't have any experience as business secretary. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, I actually think this is one of the few ones that actually makes sense.
I have had a notion.
Go on.
Every so often you get these rumours swirl around that Farage has told people privately that he doesn't want to be the PM. Okay. He wants to be out of the position before the next general election.
So he's passing on to Jemrick.
That could be it. Because, I mean, being a PM is a hell of a job. It's very demanding. And we know that...
He's not a young man anymore.
No, well, and also he had that plane accident a few years back, and he's never been the same since, and he's probably pushing himself to do what he's doing now.
No doubt. Yeah, he's always busy.
So the only way that I can find that this makes sense is because he's just putting people, he's arranging people so that their perceived seniority counts towards who wins the leadership election after him.
I can only assume. But the all of the rhetoric of, well, we needed these conservatives because they have experience in government. Mm. No, I'm not going to make Robert Jemrick the immigration minister over the department that he actually headed when he was the conservative immigration minister and was responsible for overseeing the Boris wave.
We're going to hire people for experience and then not use the experience.
Exactly. Like the argument for, okay, we need them for their experience. Well, okay, well, you've got to put him back in the position he was in and then give him the power to do what he actually wanted to do.
Yes.
But no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make him the
chance. And they could hit the ground running because they know exactly what to do. They know the personnel. They know the stumbling blocks. They might actually achieve something in the first 100 days.
What did Sweller do? She was the Home Secretary.
Mm.
I'm going to make her the Minister for Education. No, you need to make her the Home Secretary because you're here for the experience.
Yes.
You're here because you have direct experience of that.
If you're not going to use
department.
The experience, why did you blow up your reputation for being an outsider by hiring the Tory party?
What are you doing? I just can't understand it. It's so nonsensical. I'm going to put Jemrick in charge of the Chancellor, and just it doesn't make sense. You're not using the experience that you claimed you needed these people for. So, total nonsense. But the reason I'm bringing all this up is because it was after this very strange press conference and series of announcements that Nigel started taking questions from the press. And so the question is, well, has Nigel been challenged on Rupert Lowe and Restore? And the answer is yes. Now, it's not just Nigel, as you can see here. Zia Yusuf was challenged on GB News about Rupert. This was 2 days after it was launched. And he conceded that, yeah, we might have to do a deal with them. And that's very interesting. Like, day two, well, maybe we'd have to do a deal. No, Nigel would never do a deal, right?
But well, unless he's not leader by the next election.
Great point. But Zia Yusuf is the one who's accusing Rupert Lowe of
he put in the police complaint.
Yes, he put in the police complaint that Rupert Lowe threatened to murder me. Yeah. So I can't see him doing a deal with Rupert Lowe. And it was really weird. This just doesn't get brought up on this. I mean, for the time's sake, I won't play it. But, you know, weird, but okay.
Yeah.
And then on the campaign trail, Farage was asked about Lowe, and he said, well, it's out of absolutely no interest to me whatsoever. Of course it wouldn't be. Why would you want Rupert Lowe coming back like the ghost of Christmas past?
He's got no good answer here. That's probably the best answer that he can give, is just shrug it off, because if he gets into the details, he's going to get in trouble.
Well.
So he should stick to that.
Well, he ended up having to get into the details.
Oh, dear.
Because like I said, the press actually asked some good questions. Let's watch this.
Thank you. Moving on to Rhiannon from the Press Association.
Hi, Rhiannon from the Press Association. Your former colleague and friend Rupert Lowe has just launched Restore Britain. Are you feeling threatened at all by Restore Britain? And particularly now he's had the backing of Elon Musk and it could split your vote.
So I'm just going to skip about a minute of him waffling.
Parties that claim to be on the right or centre-right of British politics, from the Heritage Party to goodness knows who else, there is only one proper brand of centre-right politics in this country. It's called Reform. And as I'd mentioned earlier, you know, people think, oh, Farage has done it, we'll just set a party up, it'll be marvellous, we'll sweep the next election. It just isn't as easy as that. Now, does he have a profile on X? Yes, he does. Is Elon going to support him? Probably. But you see, you know, when he stood up and said that we've got to consider the mass deportation of entire communities, including those born in the United Kingdom, that just moves way beyond a point of reasonableness, of decency, of morality. And that was the moment at which, you know, I realised we just had to get rid of him and get rid of him as quickly as we could. And I think in terms of the way we dealt with that, we were probably more brutal than the other parties. But you know what? That's the way it's going to be.
That is an extraordinary omission.
Incredible, isn't it?
He is basically, I mean, first of all, those communities that Rupert is talking about getting rid of are explicitly the gang rapists and the
families.
People who knew about it. And Farage is saying the moment he tried to get rid of gang rapists, that was the moment he couldn't be in Reform anymore. So it's point number one.
Yep.
Point number two, He just said the moment he said, so that was the reason, because up until now the line had been that he threatened to kill a man half his age, and they had to get the police involved to protect Zaya Yusuf from the mad rampage that might follow from 68-year-old Rupert Lowe, and that was why they had to do what they had to do. He's just admitted they made all that up. Yes. It was because he wanted to deport the rapists. And he said at the end there, we were probably a little bit more brutal about it. Let's just define brutal. What he did is he made up a criminal allegation against Rupert Lowe, which had it have landed, Rupert Lowe would be in jail today. Rupert Lowe was investigated by the police. He had the police come around in the middle of the night and seize his property. Mm-hmm. And he just made it all up to get rid of him in order to protect... Right, and I'll ask this question to the audience, right? If Nigel Farage is willing to get one of his own MPs, one of his own friends, put in jail in order to protect the gang rapists, what's he going to do to you if you want to get rid of the gang rapists?
I mean, this is completely correct. Like this I found was just remarkable.
It's astonishing.
So first, the admission that he lied about Rupert Lowe, made up criminal charges, which I'm sure is a criminal offence in and of itself.
It must be, right?
It must
surely
be a criminal offence to lie, to bear false witness about a crime that didn't happen, to try and get someone else locked up. That has to be a criminal offence in and of itself. But not only that, he did this for what reason? Because Rupert Lowe had gone outside of the accepted morality of the Reform Party. Now, one might think, well, why don't you just eject him on those grounds? You say, look, we're not happy. That's too far, right? We're not happy with you trying to deport people who are complicit in rape gangs.
Well, the answer would be because that was not the conversation they wanted to have.
Well, exactly.
Which is also covering for the rape gangs.
Well, exactly. And he's saying that the line here, if it can't be proved that this person actually was involved in a rape gang, then, I mean, I don't even know if he wants to deport these people. He has said that mass deportation is not, he doesn't want that to his name. But, like, assuming he's, like, saying, no, only those individuals could be proven to be part of it. It's like, okay, but we know from the rape gang inquiry that, yes, Rupert Lowe has just finished, that you said you would do and didn't, that this is an endemic problem in the community, that the wives and families knew that, yes, this was happening, and that hundreds of men in these communities, in the sort of clan structure, as David Starkey describes it, brothers, cousins, would all come over and rape repeatedly.
So is the line that Nigel Farage is trying to stick to is, if you actually raped a 12-year-old personally, then you go. But if you just knew about it and covered for it and were okay with that, with your husbands and your brothers and your sons doing that, and you didn't say anything about it, and you just kind of went along with it, and then you turned up in court and screamed slag at the young girls when, yeah, it went to court, then those people must stay, and it is so important that those, that wider orbit stay, that we're going to make up a criminal charge against our own friend and MP in order to protect the wider circle of rapist supporters.
It does indeed seem that way. It seems that his line is, I mean, he doesn't say that he'll deport people who are actually convicted of being in a rape gang.
No, I suppose I was regging his position there.
But let's assume, on the most sort of hard-line charitable position, that he would do that, but not those people who know about it and are complicit in it in other ways. So we don't know that he's going to go after any of the police or any of the councillors or, yeah, any of the Labour MPs. No justice is going to come from that. So Farage is actually positioning himself to stand between the grooming gangs and their victims in the victims' pursuit of justice.
And actually, I think your really important point there was the authorities as well. The police who knew about it, who did nothing. The councils who knew and did nothing.
The home care homes.
Yep.
Where they were literally,
yes,
pimping them out like a slave market.
Yes.
Like Farage.
And we know that people in the Home Office knew as well.
Yep.
So what he's actually doing is maximising the protection of the establishment.
Yes. And those people in the gangs, like the in the community, who took, yep, part in some tangential way. And it's like, Nigel, this is a really... Because I suspect that actually, like, mass deportations and anti-grooming gang action is what a lot of Reform members were actually looking for, which is why when you came out, like, banging on about Tommy Robinson and criticising him, your own branches were going apoplectic.
So that was a really good point that was made on a Nick Dixon stream last night, where they were talking about how after the Brexit referendum, a lot of people thought, oh, the immigration is going to go away now. Yeah. Reform supporters, what they think Nigel Farage is going to do, and what Nigel Farage has very clearly laid out, is there is a huge gap between those two.
Massive.
And let's say Farage does win the next election, he's the wave of disappointment that is going to follow.
It's going to be another stab in the back. It'll be Boris 2.0.
Charlie.
We'll end up with a Farage wave.
And that's why, here at Lotus Eaters, we're not going along with this whole kind of, oh, well, let's just get reform in and then go to restore. No, you have to go straight to restore because it's the only thing that's going to work.
Farage's red line apparently is mass deportations of foreign rapists and their accomplices. I'm sorry, I just...
That's a hill to die on.
Especially considering that your supporters think that's what you're going to do. Right? And, again, okay, let's assume that we're being uncharitable in his policy here, that, or he'll flip-flop as he always does and go, oh, right, no, I need to do that.
Well,
okay.
We're just going on what he's actually said, so...
Oh, yeah, but he says he changes as the wind changes, right? But the actions that you took to try and politically assassinate Rupert Lowe... Just beyond the pale, and this is not the first time he has done this. This is just the least successful time that he's done this. I mean, we had Stephen Wolf on the podcast. You know, we've spoken to loads of people.
Yeah, one of them knocked it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He's done this over and over and over. But and so
I do not want to be led by a prime minister who is willing to put one of his own MPs in jail, because what the hell is he going to do to me?
To protect the gang rapes. So exactly, right, and this speaks to a remarkable difference in character between Farage and Lowe. Farage, slimy, sleazy, right? Farage is the one who's had affairs with the Alex woman and whatnot, broke up his marriage, his first marriage, and like he's engaging in all of these sort of Machiavellian backroom daggers in the back.
He's a fox, not a lion.
Exactly, but Rupert Lowe just came out and said, no, this is going to be difficult, but we're going to do it together.
Lion behaviour.
Exactly, right, manly. Right, Farage, slimy, sleazy, secretive, right, deceptive, literally, and cowardly. Right, Rupert was not being a coward about any of this, and so it was just gross. But anyway, to wrap this off, obviously Rupert Lowe has replied and said, "Well, he's admitted it. He's admitted this was entirely political. It wasn't that I'd threatened anyone. Yes, I would deport them all. I would actually give the death penalty to many too. To be entirely honest, good." People who engage in sex trafficking rings of British children. Yeah, I think they should be put...
Yeah, child rape, reasonable response is death penalty.
Yeah. I make no apology for that whatsoever. So there's more to this, obviously. Farage kept being pressed on this, and he said this.
As far as Rupert Lowe is concerned, there will be some polling published later today that shows his recognition factor amongst members of the British public. It is not very high at all. And so a push poll that says 10% is utter rot. The party isn't even registered. He won't be on 1% anywhere. Not even probably in Great Yarmouth. Thank you.
Especially when it comes to Great Yarmouth, I highly doubt that.
That's very, very contestable. Because, I mean, like Rupert Lowe, you may remember, back in December, started the Great Yarmouth First Party in Great Yarmouth. And they... immediately began on 44% of the vote, stomping ahead of Labour, Reform, Conservatives and the rest. Because, of course, Rupert Lowe, and Farage would be a complete stranger to this idea, has actually done the work.
He's enormously popular in his constituency.
And that's because he actually does the work. I mean, not only in Parliament, is he the guy with the most parliamentary notes that are put into the government and various committees and all these sort of things, far outstripping Farage in the actual work he's done. But he does a lot of work in his Great Yarmouth constituency. I mean, we covered this a little while ago, where the BBC sent a reporter down there to get people to basically say bad things about Lowe, and none of them had anything bad to say.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He actually helped me with this problem and this problem and this problem. He was actually responsive, because Rupert Lowe's actually been doing the job, and he puts his entire ministerial salary into a charity every month in Great Yarmouth. Like, there is just no reason that people in Great Yarmouth would be like, well, this isn't our guy. Of course this is our guy. Yep. He's the only one who's actually done something for us. And whenever Rupert does these parliamentary petitions or whatever, you can always see the dark red blob in Great Yarmouth, and then the rest of it kind of spreads out around the country. Like, he has got a really strong support in that constituency because he's actually done the work. So fundamentally, there's no way he's only going to get 1% in Great Yarmouth. That's not going to happen. But also, it's probably not as straightforward as Nigel Farage thinks. So I think what this is one of the polls that's come out on the... this was done the 15th and 16th, so 2 days after. And, yeah, it's in other still, right? You'll notice that other got a plus two bump there. But who got a minus three deduction? Reform on 24%? Labour on 19%, Conservative on 8%, 18%, completely normal. That's where they've been for a long time in the poll of polls. Greens on 17, Lib Dems on 13, totally normal. SNP on 3, totally normal poll. But other plus 2. Right, there we go. He's already begun on 2%, it looks like.
Yep.
Right, it looks like already he is actually showing up in these polls. And you've lost 3 on your vote share.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Reform and you're like, we're expecting to be the next government, do you want to be on 24% in the polls?
No, that's not.
That's brutal.
Yes.
Like Nigel, you go, oh, he'll never show up anywhere. What do you think is happening with your polling?
You need to be in very high 20s, 30s.
Yes. So just to be clear, I agree that like the push poll is not as reliable a factor as possible. Mm. But this is on day 4 now.
Yes.
And already he's taken 3% out of Nigel's...
Well, and remember numbers. That I know it was coming from completely the opposite direction. It was coming from the establishment rather than from the country. But Macron's On March party managed to form,
yep,
win the presidency and a parliamentary majority within 14 months.
Yep.
So 3 years is enough time for Rupert to get this done.
But also, with enough energy and effort, it will be that Restore just starts organically appearing in these polls anyway, mm, without, as Rupert saying there, look, you should be prompting Restore Britain like you do with the rest of them. It's just as valid a thing, and I think that it will start popping up and they'll be forced to prompt it. Mm. And this will keep going because, I mean, honestly, down to 24 is just atrocious. If I were Farage, I'd be like, what are we doing?
The thing is, he had it all and he just blew it.
He should be on 40%.
He blew it by that Steve Edgington interview saying that he's not going to do any deportations, that he doesn't care about Britishness, that he can't define... He was asked the other day, what is Britishness? And he said it was how you feel.
Literally the trans, yeah, argument applied to nationality.
Yeah. He was asked to define what a... Well, because I did this thing for a couple of weeks where I kept on saying somebody needs to ask him if he can define an Englishman, and actually went to Wales and a journalist did ask the question but said, can you define what a Welshman is? And his answer was somebody who's lived there for 5 years.
Yes, that's true. And now Englishness is, yes, just however you feel, if you feel English. So it's literally either magic soil or transnationality.
Yes. So yes, transnationality, yes.
That's literally the yes, two answers that he has given.
But he had it all, and he's thrown it all away, and he's done it deliberately.
Yeah, and he's starting to lose men. So this was this morning. The first Reform councillor has defected to Restore. Because as Cameron pointed out, like we get lots of messages from Reform people, councillors and branch members and things like that. And Cameron just said earlier, it's like, Reform just seem to be run by dicks. Like total dicks who are just really mean to the people below them. And they can't understand why they're being treated in this way. And it's like, yeah, it's really bizarre, isn't it? Whereas, and I think obviously the fish is rotting from the head here. I think Nigel Farage is basically callous to the people around him at the top, and this sort of like clique that controls the party makes sure that crap rolls downhill.
I can't remember if it was in one of these discussions, it might have been some other podcast that we did, but I remember you sharing me the Glassdoor stuff for Zaya Yusuf's company. Mm. And it was very clear that he treated his employees really badly.
Yep.
And there was a reason why Farage, you know, likes. And you saw him, and I can well believe that people get treated very badly in this organisation.
Yep. And so, unsurprisingly, people are like, you know what? I don't need this. I mean, loads of Reform councils, local branches, have disbanded. They defected, yep, from wherever, UKIP.
They're just fed up putting up with it.
And they just disbanded. Yeah. And Farage has been like, yeah, I don't need you. I have the media. It's like, well, I guess we'll see. You're down to 24%. Now, you know, you're literally, you should be well north of 35% at this point.
Yep.
If you want a secure victory in the next, and to know you're going to be in the next government. But as it looks like, you're going to be ending up in a coalition with the bloody Greens and the Lib Dems, whose position you basically share on nationality.
The analogy I used on the podcast is that the Boomer vote is like the One Ring. And if you put it on, and the One Ring is owned by the Tory party. So if you put it on, you will just turn into the Tory party. And I think that's what's happened to him.
I think so. So anyway, I I think that, again, this is what day four of Restore, massive impact on British politics. Reformer rattled, absolutely rattled. Farage has already come out and made a massive tactical mistake in admitting, yeah, I kicked Rupert out, framed him in order to try and protect the families of the rapists.
Surely the police have to get involved now the other way.
Yep.
If somebody admits that they lied to police and wasted police time and brought false charges,
just to get him out of the party, yes. Just to give cover to kick him out of the party, it's ridiculous. That's got to be a crime. But then you've got all of these errors that Farage has made and admissions that Farage has made, which has been amazing. And then you've got all of the Reform talking heads, which again, Farage's ex-mistress and various other people who are very close to him, saying, oh yeah, well, we don't know what a British person is either. You know, yep. So they've just made this cascading series of errors from this. Mm. So it's like, okay, and that's, again, day four. I guess we'll see what tomorrow brings.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.